AMS recently selected PMG to continue on with our pavement management, collecting the PCI data on 915 centerline miles. We've used them for several rounds now. We had interviews with two firms a few weeks ago and ended up selecting them, so we're eager to continue with them. Regional signal inventory, I talked about that last time. We had GPD work with us on that. That was completed in the fall. Since then, Amelia on our staff has created a web application to make the results of this inventory available to our staff or to our member communities. So we have a nice web application developed, and at this point we're kind of going through the test process with that. We're working with a few beta testers. If there's anyone here who's kind of in the signal world that would like to be kind of get a look at that and help us review that, we're kind of looking for feedback on methods on sharing that data and what's included on that. So let me or Seth or Amelia know after the meeting. We'd be happy to share that with you. Annual report, Carrie completed that a few weeks ago. Should have gotten an email. That's available on the AMS website. And also just wanted to mention, if you're not aware, few accolades, few of our communities received Safe Streets for All money. City of Akron received planning and demonstration dollars for corridor level safety plans for six corridors that were identified from our original action plan a couple of years ago. And then the City of Fairlawn received a really huge implementation grant. It was one of only 67 in the whole country and the only one within the state of Ohio. So big deal for our region, both of those. So that's all I have, but happy to answer any questions.
And Matt, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to make one little clarification there. Seth and I completed the annual report here recently. It wasn't just me. He did quite a bit of the legwork on putting everything together, and he did a very good job on it.
And also I wanted to mention, Carrie had asked before the meeting, we recently set up calendar invites, and Carrie and Seth both worked on that too. I assume that's working well for everybody. Everything went out okay with that.
Yeah, right. Thank you for those.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and Matt, I was just going to ask, I know one of the things that we had small concerns on about the signal stuff was related to, is there any sensitive information that we would not want to share on a public-facing document? And I think, you know, have we kind of come to a conclusion, or do we want to survey the members on that?
Yeah, I mean,
or I didn't mean to catch you.
So, right now, our web map shows, so just to kind of back up a step, so we have 960 signalized intersections in the whole planning region. Of those, GPD was able to complete inspections of 835 of those. So we have all sorts of data collected for each of those signals. The web map right now has signal layout type, so you can, you know, select a layer and, you know, sort them by different layers, signal layout type, pedestrian signal type, controller type, signal communication type, all these different things, and then click on each signal to get all the data and pictures of the cabinets and all that kind of stuff. And so what we want to know is, yeah, is there sensitive information? Seth and Curtis and I were talking, and Amelia were talking earlier this week, is there information that, you know, how available should this be? Should all of our members, should all of you, is there stuff that shouldn't be shown?
Our general default is this is public information. I think you would all look at it like that. But then there's also like the, you know, I don't know, emergency management side of, you know, is it a bad idea to just be posting pictures of every signal cabinet in the region? And so I think we were just kind of curious. Our thought was, yes, post it, but if people had concerns, we just wanted to get a sense of, hey, we might want to be thinking about that. So I don't know if we have anybody that would want to provide any feedback or thought on that.
I would just say perhaps email the members, maybe a questionnaire, because a lot of us here I'm not in charge of the signal, so
yeah.
I can't
yeah.
answer your question.
Okay.
So I think I would be a good idea.
Yeah, we have a lot of very good data, and it's interesting, but we're a little bit out of our depth here. We're not signal experts. Some of you are, and we definitely want all of you to be able to use this great resource we have. Another thing we're going to be talking about, and we don't really know the best way to do this either, but we need to make sure that we're maintaining this great database that we have. So, you know, in a given year, there might be 30 to 50 signals that are upgraded one way or another, either through major projects or just small changes to signals. And so we need to make sure that that data gets upgraded to us. So we need to figure out the best ways to for all of you to give us that information. So we'll be figuring that out too. So, all right.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Moving on to item C, Ms. Prater.
Thank you. If you look at your packet for 3C, you can see that not a lot has encumbered yet this year. We're very third and fourth quarter heavy this year. So we are expecting, we did have one project sell and encumber, and that was Barlow Road, since this packet was put out. But we do expect in the next couple of weeks to have many of these projects award. So I'm not sure, some of them are probably out to bid currently. So we will be having to get a loan at SDBG this year. I'm probably going to be looking into ODOT soon in the next like month or two. Otherwise we won't be able to fund all of our projects this year. Hopefully everybody's on track to sell their projects if they're on the list this year. So that's my hope. I don't like fourth quarter sales. It scares me a little bit. So if we can avoid them in the future, that'd be very preferred. So anyone have any questions? Okay. I do have if you're in District 3, your next project review meeting is March 12th. And if you're in District 4, your next project review meeting is March 18th. So I will send out a save the date for you soon. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Amy. Moving on to old business. Seeing none, we'll go right into new business. Item A, Ms. Rydell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, everyone. Attachment 5A is the draft fiscal year 2027 Transportation Planning Work Program and Budget, which guides the work of the MS staff from July 1st of this year to June 30th of 2027. Included in Attachment 5A is the draft local share, calculated to be $197,140. Invoices for local share will not be sent out until July. We will be requesting approval of the final work program in May. AMET staff requests a motion to allow us to submit this draft work program to ODOT for review. If there are any questions, I can answer them.
Seeing no questions, do we have a motion?
Weepy motion. Bowling second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Ms. Rydell, item B.
Yes. Attachment 5B is the notice of funding available for the 8th round of Connecting Communities Planning Grant. So beginning February 13th, which is next Friday, the day after our policy meeting, applications will be made available on our website for up to 2 planning grants with a maximum award of $50,000 each. That's a little different from previous years. The application will be similar, however, to previous years, and will be due March 20th. As always, we're looking for projects that increase alternative transportation options through land use and design. The Connecting Communities Planning Grant Task Force will review the applications and make recommendations to Policy Committee, for Policy Committee approval in May. If you have any questions, I would be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Seeing no questions, move on to item C. Mr. Stewart.
Thank you, Chairman. Okay, so I'm not going to poll the audience here, but if I ask for a show of hands what micromobility is, I'm guessing that a lot of you don't know what that is. It's maybe a term that you've heard before, but you're not sure what it is. So I'm going to start with the definition. So in its broadest term, micromobility is any small, low-speed, human, or electric-powered transportation device. It could include, it can include bicycles or scooters, e-bicycles, or other like small, lightweight wheeled conveyances. So for our report, for the micromobility report that we just wrote, we're really focused specifically on e-scooters. And what we really are focused on is particularly what we call the shared micromobility industry. In both the cities of Akron and Kent, you may have seen, you know, the spin scooters that have popped up over the last 5 or so years. So we really went to look at kind of how that industry has cropped up and how that has changed transportation, both nationally and locally. So the report, if you've had a chance to look at it, it's linked within the memo for 5C. It's on our website, but the report just kind of starts out by taking just a general national look at trends in micromobility, how it's changed as something that has just come up within the last 10 to 15 years in our country and the world. And then we kind of dive in specifically to micromobility on a regional level. Like I said, Kent and Akron being our two cities where we have shared micromobility services. And we provide ridership data for both of those cities and look at how those programs have evolved in the two communities. We then identify some of the key benefits and challenges of micromobility that the communities face regarding micromobility, and then we take those benefits and challenges and try to come up with a series of common sense recommendations for local decision makers, either who are in communities where micromobility exists for kind of managing micromobility, or for communities who might be exploring the possibility of creating a micromobility program. So just a small report. It's kind of thought of as like as an addendum to our 2024 active transportation plan. We thought that it was kind of our attempt to take a deeper dive into a relatively unfamiliar emerging mode of transportation. Just a short report that we've been working on for quite some time and finally decided to get it done. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions, but we are recommending committee approval of the 2026 MX Micromobility Report. Yes, Joe.
Matt, I was concerned about these from a safety standpoint, and I wondered, does AMATS or anyone collect crash data on these? I'm thinking more of the e-scooters, I guess they're called, where folks are on sidewalks in the street. You know, I always feel bad about that situation for them, but mainly I was interested in the safety aspect, and also, it was my understanding, probably outdated, that communities can't do much in terms of prohibiting scooters from coming into their community. Is that true?
No, there are things, and we do talk about that both in the challenges section and then the recommendations section. We talk about some of the, it is kind of like the wild, or at least it was kind of the Wild West with the regulatory environment, and there was a lot of reactive. But a lot of that is getting settled, and we do provide some resources for even Ohio-based things on how to regulate some of that. But some communities have actually banned micromobility. There are differences in where scooters can ride, and some of the shared micromobility services have what's called geofencing, where they are actually prohibited to ride. They're controlled. you know, so you can't ride on a sidewalk, like it's prohibited from riding there. So there are ways to control it from that standpoint. As far as you talked about crashes, we did not do a specific crash analysis as part of this report. They are classified as pedicycles. Like we could, there is a way, but I don't think there's an easy way for us to like take out those crashes specifically and look at those. So we did not do an analysis of like what crashes have existed within our area.
And this report wouldn't cover golf carts that many of the communities
have. Yeah, we did not. That was not, that's not considered micromobility. Good question.
Yeah, Jim.
Joe, just to let you know, from a community that has spin, no, we don't regulate it. However, they're in our community because Kent State's in the community, and Kent State has a contract with SPIN, and we have a relationship with Kent State, which allows us a way to influence how they function within our community. So including setting geofence areas up where they should or should not function. So,
I mean, they can whiz right along, as most of us know, and you may not notice them until you're interacting with them.
We track all our crashes in the city. I haven't seen a rash or heard of a rash of e-scooter crashes. Though there have been some.
Your arrangement makes sense. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Thank you for the discussion. This does require a motion. Second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries.
Thank you.
And on to resolutions. Item A, resolutions 2026-01, 2, and 3. Ms. Prater.
So now we are to the point where everybody's been waiting for our funding of programs. So back in December, we gave everyone a list of projects that were submitted with scoring and asked everyone to review their scoring. We did receive some comments. We took those comments to the TAC tip in January and had a discussion, and then the TAC tip decided where we were going to fund to, what level of funding we were going to provide. And then, so now this is the listing of all the projects that we, the TAC tip decided to fund. So basically, if you look in your packets for each funding source, there is all the projects listed from highest to lowest. And if your project is in bold and above the red line, then it will be funded. I will be sending out, after policy, I will be sending out notification letters with years that the funding will be provided in, and a scope form and information on how to submit everything to ODOT so that we can get a bid for the projects and we can get them scheduled. So, all I ask is that you do put it in the year that I give to you. ODOT will have the years. So if you try to not put it in the year that we ask you to put it into because you want it in a different year, ODOT won't let you. If you want to move it up, please contact me after the project. So for STBG, we funded a little over $11 million in funding. And for surfacing, it was about 12.6. We went down a little further. Originally, we were going to fund about $11 million in resurfacing as well. Since resurfacing is so fluid with their movements, we're able to fund a little bit more so that we can have a little bit bigger pool to pull from if projects start to slip. And then in TASA, we decided to fund $4.9 million. Does anyone have any questions?
And seeing no questions, we'll begin with resolution 2026-01. Do we have a motion?
So moved, Weepy.
Second, Jonty.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Resolution 2026-02. Do we have a motion?
Move to approve more.
Costco, second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution 2026-02 carries. 2026-03, do we have a motion?
So moved, Jonky.
Tomasi, second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Somebody say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Thank you. Moving on to item B, resolution 2026-04. Ms. Crater.
Thank you. This resolution is to amend the TIP and Kent received $2 million in safety funding to fund their project PID number 118500, and this is just basically to add that funding to the TIP. Anyone have any questions?
Seeing no questions, we have a motion.
So moved, Weepy.
Tomasi, second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Last item, a resolution 2026-05. Mr. Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 6C is a TIP amendment adding capital funds for Metro RTA. This is a competitive grant program award administered directly by ODOT Office of Transit. Metro would like to add two new projects using $2.9 million in recently awarded federal funds for the construction of enhanced bus shelters, one bus shelter in Akron and one in Barberton. Funding breakdown is detailed in the memo. Section 6C. Both projects will be scheduled in fiscal year 2026. The staff is requesting approval of resolution 2026-05. Are there any questions?
What's an enhanced bus shelter?
Well, it's more than your average bus shelter.
You mean enhanced $5?
More solid, yes.
We're talking two bus shelters of $2.8 million.
That is correct. One is $1.2 million and the other is $1.7 million.
Wayne, I'll send you the schematic.
Well, it's probably nice and warm this time of year, right? Coffee machines, coffee machines.
Yes, coffee machines.
Lotto machines.
Buses.
Thank you. Any other questions for the presenter? Seeing none, can I have a motion?
The Sheriff Ritter.
Bowling, second.
Motion, second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That motion carries. Any other business to discuss?
We have none. I hope everyone had a great beginning of the new year, and thank you for coming again. We appreciate it.
Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Costco, second.
Thank you. We are adjourned.